is Dickered Up. The official podcast of the Cars Tour is on the air. Presented by Puryear Tank Lines. The Cars Tour, the premier late model stock series. Short track racing at its very best. Stickered Up will feature A-list guests, the hottest topics, race previews, recaps, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If it happens on the Cars Tour, Stickered Up is chewing on it. Here's your host, Stephen Dunn.
And welcome in to another edition of the Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast of the Solid Rock Carriers Cars Tour. Round two of the 2023 season in the books for the Cars Tour late model stock cars. They ran at Florence Motor Speedway this past Friday night, the Aaron's 125, presented by Grand Atlantic Resort. 32 cars took the green flag on Saturday night, and a familiar face ended up in victory lane. We go to our friends at Flow Racing with the recap.
Anticipation has been building for several months in the Solid Rock Carriers Cars Tour. We had one fantastic race at Southern National Motorsports Park, and we are set for another doozy tonight. 125 laps. Pace Truck will dive to the safety of pit lane into the KRC Power Steering start zone. Goes Cody Kelly, and the Aaron's 125 is underway. Thirty-two cars roar to life around this 0.4-mile racetrack, and on the first lap, Brendan Butterbean Queen able to work the top side and pass Cody Kelly. Queen goes to the top spot. You can see Kelly in second, and Connor Hall settling in third. With 12 laps to go, we're back underway. Queen is sideways. Here comes Carson Quaffle up to the inside. Queen will hold him at bay, though. A tough restart there, though, for that 0-3. In trouble in turn one, Isabella Robusto and Ryan Wilson tangle. Caution flag is out once again. Through the KRC Power Steering restart zone with 12 laps to go here at Florence. Green flag is back out, and they are dead even into turn one. A little contact made between your top two as well, and Quapple not quite clear as they looked almost go three wide. Bassett clears for third.
Bassett was able to come across the bow of Mini Tyrone. He tags the backside of Brendan Queen for second spot. Quapple breaks free as they're double wide from second on back. Bassett to the bottom.
And Carson Quapple says thank you very much as they battle for second. Queen still holding strong there on the top side. Ronnie Bassett Jr. continuing his march through the field after they touched off of turn two. They nearly do it yet again. And you also have Connor Jones. You can throw it in the mix as well.
Everybody is on the go button now. 10 laps to settle it here at Florence. Bassett hugging the bottom with Connor Jones just behind in the 44. Bryant Barnhill continues to hold steady in the top 10.
He and Junior Motorsports struggled here in the icebreaker, but they will put those worries to rest off of turn four for the final time. A checkered flag in hand, and Carson Quapple wins the Aaron's 125 presented by Grand Atlantic Resort.
Carson Quapple, your winner at Florence Motor Speedway on Saturday night. Brendan Queen finished second. Ronnie Bassett Jr. finished third in a great run for him. Jay Hedgecock, 1-2-3 as far as chassis manufacturer. Pretty good night for Jay Hedgecock. Connor Hall was fourth. Jacob Hefner, who charged through the field like he did at Southern National 2 weeks ago, he finishes fifth. Minnie Tyrell, who led 74 laps, he comes home sixth. Bobby McCarty, seventh. Ron Galinsky, eighth. Cody Kelly, the pole sitter, finished ninth. And Brian Barnhill, a local, round out the top 10. Looking at the championship standings in the late model stock cars after two events, defending champion Carson Quapple, he leads. He's 68 points. Brendan Queen, 10 markers behind in second. Jacob Hefner, 13 points behind. Our first winner of 2023, Deep McCaskill, didn't have the best run at Florence this past weekend. He's still fourth in championship points. He's 17 points behind. Two drivers tied for fifth, Bobby McCarty and Connor Hall. They're 19 markers behind. Ronnie Bassett, Chad McCombie, Jared Fryer, and Minnie Tyrell round out the top 10 in championship standings as we head to Hickory Motor Speedway in a couple of weeks. Brandon Willard has the Volt Battery yellow flag out. We'll take this opportunity to come down pit road. Sticker up. We return. We'll talk to the winner of the Aaron's 125, Carson Quapple. You're listening to the Stickered Up Podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. Courier Tank.
Tank Lines, a trucking company run by drivers for drivers. For over three generations, Purrier has been leading in driver happiness, client satisfaction, and safety. They love trucking, family, and racing. As a Purrier driver, you'll earn up to $100,000 per year plus exceptional benefits, including exclusive access to Purrier racing events. Enjoy flexible scheduling, career path opportunities, zero split seating, and much more. Visit drivepurrier.com to learn more.
Practice. Race. Win. At Performance Racing Warehouse, home of the PRW chassis, they feel the thrill of victory and agony of defeat with every customer. With a cutting-edge, track-tested chassis, they know what it takes to build a race-winning machine. The PRW chassis has a proven track record of wins and championships that speak for themselves. When you're ready to take your performance to the next level, come visit Performance and let them get you in victory lane. Online at performancecenter.com. Also, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. And you can call Performance Racing Warehouse at 704-838-1400.
GXS Wraps is your one stop for all your vehicle and motorsports graphics needs. Since 2018, GXS Wraps has offered turnkey solutions including design, printing, and installation of premium final graphics for fleet vehicles, personal vehicles, and race cars. 100% of our services offered are completed at our 4,800 square foot facility located in Apex, North Carolina. Check us out on the web, GXSWraps.com, or give us a call, 919-213-0371, to get started on your next wrap. GXS Wraps, the official graphics partner of the Cars Tour and the Stickered Up Podcast.
For laser cutting and CNC bending, GeoCut for media blasting and surface conditioning. GeoCut, South Boston, Virginia, for powder coating. GeoCut, on-demand laser cut parts. Just go to geocutfabrication.com. Upload your part drawing. Select the material and quantity and then see your instant quote immediately with the option to order right then and there. 434-201-4824. GeoCutFabrication.com. 611 Railroad Avenue, South Boston, Virginia. One part or 1 million parts. GeoCut has you covered.
Hey, I'm Carson Quapple, driver of the number 8 Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops Junior Motorsports Chevrolet. You're listening to Stickered Up Podcast.
Green flag back in the air of this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast of the Solid Rock Carriers Cars Tour. Joining us via the GSX Wraps Hotline, the winner of this past weekend's Aaron's 125 presented by Grand Atlantic Resort, Mr. Carson Quapple. Carson, welcome back to the Stickered Up Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Man, I think there were a lot of people. I think everywhere you go, everybody thinks that you're a contender to win, but I think some people were a little questionable about how you might be this last past weekend, considering you didn't have the greatest run in the icebreaker back in February when we were at Florence. But, man, you guys rebounded and ran up front all night long. Talk a little bit about Saturday night and what it took for you and your junior motorsports team to kind of wash away the poor run in February to come back and take the checkered flags on Saturday night.
Yeah, so after the icebreaker there, we went to work, so to say, and started tearing stuff apart and stuff like that, just trying to, I guess, figure it out. You know, we never should run like that, never do, especially both cars. So we went to work, and we really didn't find anything that was out of the ordinary for us. That was just kind of disappointing, honestly, not to find something that was wrong. So after that, we just kind of thought about it for a while and figured that we don't really know. And I guess we were all pretty nervous, me, Brian, and Slim and the whole crew. We were all pretty nervous going into this Cars Tour race, not knowing if we just got a bad tire at the first icebreaker at the icebreaker or if we actually were just that far off. And in the back of my mind, I figured that we probably just got a bad tire. Like I said earlier, we shouldn't run that bad. And it was pretty embarrassing. And to start off the year like that wasn't that good. It really didn't boost our confidence much. But we just did our normal deal like we always would. I guess coming off Kinley with a second place run and a run or a chance to win the race, that boosted our confidence back up, obviously, and kind of put us back to where we usually run. And so that really helped going into the race. We just figured do our normal deal at the Cars Tour race and just see what happens. And we practiced Friday, and the car seemed pretty good, showed a lot of speed in practice, and we just made a few minor tweaks, and then we went. We qualified 11th, which was obviously not to our expectation, but fortunately, the car that Brian gave me was super good, and there was no complaints on my end, and we were able to just come back from that rough run at Icebreaker and come home with the win.
Talk a little bit about Florence Motor Speedway. It's definitely one of those racetracks. It's a different kind of race, and you've got to save some tire. Obviously, the beginning, a lot of different strategies playing out, a lot of comers and goers. You started a little bit deeper in the field than we normally see the eight car, but you went to the front pretty quick, and you were able to maintain and stay up front, where someone like a Jacob Hefner, who Chad McCombie, those guys went to the back. I mean, you guys caught them before that first competition caution. They saved a ton more. They were able to come back through the field, not get quite to the front, but talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys play that strategy out. How important is your spotter, Brett Edwards, when it comes to a race like this where you've got to save some tire so that you've got something there at the end?
Yeah, I mean, everything comes together to make one, and me and Brett make a pretty good combo. We've worked with each other for the past year or two, so he kind of knows what I'm looking for, and me and him have grown a bunch with this junior motorsports ride. And but I mean, having Brian in the pits, infield, whatever you want to say, watching, and I rely on him a bunch, just asking basically for like, what does it look like, who looks good, and do we even look good, stuff like that. So yeah, that 11th place starting spot for us wasn't ideal, but fortunately we were able to pick a few spots off the first few laps, just trying to let everyone single file out before we make passes. There's no sense in making it three wide on lap three. So once we got some clear room, I really wanted to get up the front, and that's kind of what me and Brian and Brett kind of thought was going to be the best, and just try to get up there and be in the top five, top seven area, to where you don't have to make up so much track position there at the end. I mean, there's two strategies. You can kind of get up towards the front and ride in top five, or you drop back like Hefner and McCombie did and save a bunch of tire and try to drive through at the end. When you're in the middle of the pack, like where we started, it's really not a good spot, because you're not saving enough to make the track position loss worth it. So we all worked together as a team, and we were able to get to the front there, and I felt like we positioned ourselves really well. We worked together really good, and that really paid off. I think by the last 45 laps, or the last after the last competition, we were sitting in fourth or so, I believe, and we were able to get up to second by lap 25 to go, lap 100, and then take the lead with 12 to go from there. And like I was saying earlier, the car they gave me was superb, and I really couldn't have asked for anything better. And Brian really hit it spot on for this race, so that was pretty awesome.
Chatting with Carson Quapple here on the GSX Reps Hotline, the most recent winner on the Cars Tour Saturday night at Florence Motor Speedway. Carson, you're in familiar territory here. You after race two, you're back on top of the championship standings, place that you sat pretty much all year last year, and with, again, a first and a second place finish, already have a pretty decent, healthy lead after two races. Obviously, a back-to-back championship is I know, a goal of you guys, but from what you've seen, we've had, you know, 32 cars start the first two races. A lot of these guys anticipating to run full-time, run for a championship after the first two races. Who do you look at as far as who you're going to have to beat in this year-long battle to win a second championship?
Yeah, that's a really good question there. There's definitely a few more faces that ran some last year that weren't full-time. They're now running full-time with a good team or a new team. And I'm honestly going to go with Brendan Queen there on that one. He's going to be a tough one. He showed two good finishes so far this year, and obviously at Florence this past weekend, he was really fast. Me and him were kind of checked out about a straightaway or so when we were racing with each other before we got that caution at the end. But I think Bobby McCarty is going to be a really strong one. I think now he's hooked up with his new team. It's going to be a good combo. They've showed speed and performance so far, and Just talking with Bobby some, it sounds like everything's going good over there, and he's really happy with what they got going on. So other than that, it's going to be the normal cars. It's going to be the Chad Bryan cars, Diaz and Connor Hall. Those guys are going to be fast every week. Connor was our main competition for the championship last year. So I'm sure he's going to be strong, and I don't think they had the best of finish at Florence here the last weekend, but I'm sure they'll get it all figured out. And they're going to be one to beat for sure week in and week out, along with McCarty and Queen. But it's crazy. There's so many people that there's 10 to 15 of them that could win weekly. So, I mean, it's hard to say who's going to be strong, because I think last year there was maybe, I'm guessing 9-10 different winners, or so.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's just whoever hits their setup perfect that week is gonna run good. Which you gotta, to win the championship in the cars tour, you gotta hit it right every week, or not have any bad races at least. Have good consistent finishes, and there's more than 10 guys that I know could do that week in and week out. So it's gonna be tough, but I think Brendan Queen, Chad Bryan guys, and McCarty, those guys are gonna be really tough all year.
Would be remiss to not ask you about your boss, Dale Earnhardt Jr., one of the co-owners of the Cars Tour, that went into effect in January. Carson, do you put any additional pressure, or do you feel like there's additional pressure, additional eyeballs on you and your team each and every week, knowing that your car owner also has an ownership stake in the series?
Yes and no. I mean, I think with bringing Dale and Harvick and Burton, his partners, all those guys, bringing them in is just going to bring in more faces that have not seen the series, I guess you could say. And so I guess there's more people watching, more higher-ups kind of paying attention to it, and that's really good for the series. But other than that, though, I don't really see a whole lot of added pressure. There's really nothing that's changed, in my opinion. The race days, practice days, they're all the same. I think there's just new faces as the owners, and Jack and Keeley are still doing everything, and they're still putting on good races like we had at Florence. And I'm really excited to continue the season with Johnny Morris, Bass Pro Shops, Junior Motorsports, with the Chevy late model, and see if we can rack up some more wins and keep defending our championship.
Carson, I want to ask you a quick question. You're an elite company, you and Jared Fryer, being the only two drivers to win a super late model championship in the Cars Tour and a late model stock car. And as it sits right now, you guys will be the only two guys that ever accomplished that feat. Have you actually sat back and thought about that? And if so, what does that mean for you to be a champion on two different sides of the Cars Tour?
No, honestly, I haven't really thought about that too much. Whenever we won that championship, I think I was told that was, I guess, in the history books or whatever. But I think it's cool. I mean, I went from running my dad's super late model in the Cars Tour, kind of a family deal, low budget, to then the next year coming here to Junior Motorsports with all the resources we have, and the great people like Johnny Morris, LW Kelly, and Dale, all those people, they can put so much together compared to a little family team like we had. So I'm super proud of what me and my dad and my family have done, winning a championship, winning some Cars Tour races in 21. But doing that, I think, kind of opened up some more options for me driving-wise, which obviously led to this Junior Motorsports deal. So all the people that have, I guess, helped me throughout the years and helped put me in the position I am to drive for Dale, Kelly, LW. I just can't thank them enough. And I'm super excited to hopefully win another Cars Tour late model stock championship. But it's like I was saying earlier, it's really tough. There's so many guys that can win it, and all it takes is one bad race and you're dropping the points a bunch. So it's going to be tough, but I think Brian and Slim and all the guys, they're going to give me a good car week in and week out that I can rely on and have consistent good finishes when it's up to me.
Most people that listen to our podcast know that your dad, Travis, was a cup driver, a successful cup driver, and he's at the racetrack with you. And don't discount that little team mentality, man. You guys did some really good things and some impressive things being a small team on the super side, but he's at the racetrack with you each and every week. What kind of role does Dad play now? Now that he's not necessarily turning wrenches, is he more of a driver coach? Is he there to support you, or is he actually still getting in there and turning wrenches?
I guess it's definitely switched up some. I mean, when I do run with him in select races, it's same deal. Family team, just trying to make it on our own and do good compared to all the big teams. And whenever he comes to the races with the junior motorsports guys, he's more so a driver coach or race coach during the race. Just someone to rely on, bounce information off of. Me, Brian, Spotter, and Travis, or my dad, can bounce ideas off each other and kind of work together. And it's cool to have him there. He's paid attention just from watching it outside and obviously racing with the Supers and stuff. So he's really smart on that stuff. He can really do a good job guiding me. But whenever the pros are racing, my dad's usually helping my brother. He's running a Pro 8 model, and he works on their stuff pretty good with the crew chiefs. So he always stays busy, but it's good to have the standalone late model races. And I can have my dad come and usually – pushes us in the right direction for what he thinks or how the race is going and stuff like that.
I'm sitting here looking at your stat line for the late model stock cars. Obviously last year being your first year, 20 starts, 4 poles, 5 wins, 16 top fives. There's only 4 races that you finished outside of the top 5 in 20 races, and you're $100 shy of $100,000 in prize money. That's a pretty big accomplishment in a very short period of time. Have you even thought about that or reflected on that yet?
No, not really. And what would make the stats even better is I guess my first ever late model experience was, if you look a little deeper in there, is 2017. It should be 2018. I ran a few late model stock races for my dad. We got a late model back then, and that was my first ever really late model racing. I think we might have had like a average finish of like 20th or something. I think we wrecked out 2 of them, and
you had an average finish of 19th, and you have an average starting position of 16.5.
Yeah, so that if you count those out, which whenever I came to run this junior motorsports car, I totally didn't even remember when I ran his stuff. So right. If you count that out and just go to the last season, the season 21 and 22 when I ran junior motorsports stuff, it's pretty impressive. I've looked back and just went kind of just wowed myself. Like, it's crazy that we can jump in here and the team can adapt to me. I can adapt to the team, and we can go out there and run that good in 1 year. And I'm super proud of that, and I'm sure the guys are too. And Josh and Brian, they've been working together more than 10 years, and I mean it shows with our performance at the track and stuff like that. But yeah. Like I was saying, just super proud of everybody, and I'm sure everybody else is too. And hopefully we can keep getting that average finish lower and lower.
I do want to talk a little bit about it. It's not right. It's not the next couple of races, but a big, big deal coming up in May. The Cars Tour, which ran at North Wilkesboro last year, you held off your boss for the win, which I think you would probably safely say is probably your biggest win of your career. But talk about going back to North Wilkesboro, the defending winner of the late model stock car race, with all of the limelight that's going to be going on with All-Star Weekend, the trucks being there. We've already know that there's going to be several Cup drivers that plan to or anticipate running that late model stock car race. Have you had that one circled on the calendar since it came out?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the beginning of the season, you get the schedule and you look at it, and there's always a few races per driver that you're like, yep, that one. Like, we got to get that one. And that's kind of how it was last year whenever we found out the North Wilkesboro race was happening. And I remember as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, yeah, we got to go hard on that one and try to win that one. And we were able to really dominate and have a really good car. And I think that's going to boost our confidence or whatever you want to say going into this next North Wilkesboro race, which I think is even bigger, obviously, with the All-Star Weekend and stuff like that and all the other NASCAR divisions running with us. And we got to go run good at that one for sure. There's a lot of people watching, and It's going to be obviously a bunch of fans paying attention at the track and stuff like that. So that's definitely one, I think, for everybody, honestly, that's circled on their calendar. They're just going out there, and that's the one, you know. That's North Wilkesboro, and me and the team are lucky enough to already have one North Wilkesboro win, but I'm sure you guys know we're really going to press hard to get another one.
I hear the elevator ride up to Victory Lane is a pretty cool deal, so I know that that's probably on your list of things to do during All-Star Weekend. Before I let you go, man, I do want to ask, and again, your boss, co-owner of the Cars Tour, Dale Earnhardt Jr., got back into late model racing last year, his first race, you know, finishing second to you at North Wilkesboro, but he has run a couple of races since then, both of those at Florence Motor Speedway, and he's admittedly said that the slate model stock car racing is really hard. Has Junior come to Carson Quapel, the guy that's won a bunch of these Cars Tour races? He come to you and asked you for advice on how to get these things around the racetrack faster?
I mean, some. Whenever we race together, like Wilkesboro and the Florence races, it's just, we just rely on each other, you know. It's obviously a team effort. Luckily for Dale, he can really rely on Josh for help. Josh is obviously, as everyone knows, he's awesome with this late model stuff and racing in general. So I think Dale's really lucky to have Josh there and vice versa. But I definitely do remember at Wilkesboro practice qualifying, we were kind of just talking to each other, not really about the setup and stuff. Just, what do you think? Like, we were both, obviously I was super foreign to it because I'd never been there, but he hasn't been there in 20 years, so he was super foreign to it as well. And we were just, you know, leaning on each other, him being his first start back and however long he was leaning on me, just about the basics about the cars and stuff, what they should do, what they should feel like. And once he kind of got it figured out in practice, we were able to rely on each other. But it's definitely fun having Dale at the track. It brings obviously way more fans in, but yeah, it kind of brings more of the team together and kind of makes us work a little harder bringing two cars. But I'm really excited for Wilkesboro and to have him there with us. And hopefully we can make another ride up the elevator, whoever wins.
Well, I know he's really excited to have you in the seat of that number 8 car. Again, 22 champion going for back to back. Carson, before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to thank those people that get you the racetrack each and every week.
Yeah, I mean, I got to start off with Johnny Morris with Bass Pro Shops. Without him coming on board this year, I don't know if I'd even be able to defend this title. So having him is a huge tool for me, and I'm super excited to build a relationship with him and Bass Pro Shops. Other than that, though, Kelly, LW, Dale, everybody at Junior Motorsports, without those guys, I wouldn't be in this car to begin with. So those guys really put their neck out for me and kind of got me this opportunity, and I don't think I'll ever be able to repay them. But Junior Motorsports, like I said, all those guys over there, they take care of us well, and great friends of mine. And having Chevrolet kind of there helping me out, that's pretty awesome. And Josh, Scott, and the program, they do a really good job for all us drivers and trying to get us ready and trying to move us up. So other than that, it's Brian, crew chief, Slim, main mechanic, and then all my guys, Justin, Ernie, Brett, just having those guys there for you to rely on, and you can trust them with anything, that's pretty awesome. And without those guys, we wouldn't be able to make it out for practice runs at the track. So everybody, it comes in, it's all one big team, and you got to have every part to it, and I think we're there.
Well, Carson, congratulations again on your first win of 2023. Like I tell everybody that comes on the Stickered Up podcast, go on and win you a couple more, and we'll have you back on to talk about those wins as well. Best of luck to you at Hickory in a couple of weeks, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll be on soon.
That's Carson Quapel, driver of the number 8 Bass Pro Shops late model stock car out of Junior Motorsports, most recent winner on the Cars Tour. Brandon Willard has the Volt Battery yellow flag out. We'll take this opportunity to come down pit road. Sticker up. When we return, we'll wrap up this edition. You're listening to Stickered Up Podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. We're laser cutting and CNC bending, geo cut for media blasting and surface conditioning,
Geocut, South Boston, Virginia. For powder coating, Geocut. On demand laser cut parts, just go to geocutfabrication.com. Upload your part drawing. Select the material and quantity and then see your instant quote immediately with the option to order right then and there. 434-201-4824. Geocutfabrication.com. 611 Railroad Avenue, South Boston, Virginia. One part or 1 million parts. Geocut has you covered.
GXS Wraps is your one stop for all your vehicle and motorsports graphics needs. Since 2018, GXS Wraps has offered turnkey solutions including design, printing, and installation of premium final graphics for fleet vehicles, personal vehicles, and race cars. 100% of our services offered are completed at our 4,800 square foot facility located in Apex, North Carolina. Check us out on the web, GXSWraps.com, or give us a call, 919-213-0371, to get started on your next wrap. GXS Wraps, the official graphics partner of the Cars Tour and the Stickered Up Podcast.
Practice, race, win. At Performance Racing Warehouse, home of the PRW chassis, they feel the thrill of victory and agony of defeat with every customer. With a cutting-edge, track-tested chassis, they know what it takes to build a race-winning machine. The PRW chassis has a proven track record of wins and championships that speak for themselves. When you're ready to take your performance to the next level, come visit Performance and let them get you in victory lane. Online at performancecenter.com. Also, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. And you can call Performance Racing Warehouse at 704-838-1400.
Courier Tank Lines, a trucking company run by drivers for drivers. For over three generations, Courier has been leading in driver happiness, client satisfaction, and safety. They love trucking, family, and racing. As a Courier driver, you'll earn up to $100,000 per year plus exceptional benefits, including exclusive access to Courier racing events. Enjoy flexible scheduling, career path opportunities, zero split seating, and much more. Visit drivecourier.com to learn more.
Hey, this is Brendan Butterbean, Queen driver to number 03 Old School Video Games, LeafCars.com Toyota, and you're listening to Stickered Up.
White flag on this edition of the Stickered Up podcast, the official podcast of the Solid Rock Carriers Cars Tour. Cars Tour will take a couple of weeks off, a little bit of a spring break, so to speak. We'll be at Hickory Motor Speedway on April the 22nd, where the pro late models and the late model stock cars will both be in action. We'll preview that race in an upcoming edition of the Stickered Up podcast. Want to thank our guests for coming on today. The most recent winner on the late model stock car side, Carson Quapple. Also want to thank our sponsors that help Stickered Up come to you each and every week. Those sponsors being Pereer Tank Lines, Performance Center Racing Warehouse, Geocut, GSX Wraps, and again, as always, our friends here at Broadcasting Experts, Dave Perkins and Morgan Patrick. Until next time, that's the checkered flag on this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast.
Be sure to share this podcast. New episodes of Stickered Up will be available wherever you download your podcasts.